All right. Check yourselves, see if you're in fellowship. I will too. And we are in the consideration here of Romans 10, 1 through 4. Paul's comments with regard to the Jewish issue. The Jewish issue has been a long, ongoing story of Jewish negative volition to the true gospel of God, because they have repudiated and continue corporately to reject who and what Jesus Christ is. They talk about Messiah all the time on the Israel 365 and that he's coming and blah, 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 which is true, but they don't have a clue who he is. This is amazing. And so salvation to them is a works proposition. Paul continues to make the Jewish observation, first from his own standpoint as a Jewish convert and apostle. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation, their conversion. That prayer will be answered in the day of the Lord. There will be a time when the Jews turn to Christ in mass. It'll be amazing to watch. Of course, we'll be in heaven, but it'll be amazing to watch the Jewish response right after the rapture of the church and the universal evangelization of the earth in every language. You got to explain this rapture event. This is something you can't just push aside. And alien abduction is ludicrous. That'll be ludicrous, because it won't fit the evidence. All these people with their belongings, their clothing intact, left on the ground, and then all the empty graves in your local cemetery. The ones that are disturbed and the ones that aren't. Deal with it. The remains are gone. The physical bodies are gone. All of the clothing and everything is left intact. And for a minute, for a second, any unbeliever that's observant will see this. I know the actual transformation of the individual is in the twinkling of an eye, but you still can catch this. He was there and is not now. And if they get any time, they will see that this person isn't in a lot of cases, isn't the age they were. He was 90. Whoa. He was 9. Whoa. Resurrected right out of here, in front of all these people. And then the announcements that are given to... There's three big announcements given to the entire human race. In this order, let's give everyone another shot at the gospel. Proclaim it to all the nations, in every corner, in every place where humans exist. And then the next announcement, number two, get out of the United States of America and go back to the country that your ancestors migrated from or wherever. Just get out, or you're going to die in a Holocaust, a nuclear one. Let that settle in their head. Pick up the Statue of Liberty with its base and pitch it into the Atlantic with a speech. You don't think that's earth-shattering? And then, oh, and by the way, in the last one, don't under any circumstances take the mark of the beast. Refuse it. Away we go. And the Jews that will be boiling out of the United States, because the majority of the earth's population of Jews still reside in these United States, and they'll be coming to Israel, and they won't be filing papers to get it going. They're just going to be going by whatever means God provides them with to get out of here. He doesn't give someone an order and then make it impossible for him to execute it. Things will happen that will make it possible for them to freely get out of here and not have to worry about restrictions. Restrictions? There's going to be a lot going on the ground here in this country. A lot of people are getting fed up with this, the way we're being governed. Really getting fed up with it. You know, I'm talking to Civil War type fed up with it. I'm not advocating it. Don't interpret that in any way. I'm just saying that it's out there and it's in the air. Due to the injustice and miscarriage of judgment and those in power failing to do what they're supposed to do. All right. Paul prays for their salvation. And then he says in verse 2, "For I testify, I bear witness about them, that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with epinosis, full knowledge." And then he explains, "For not knowing about God's righteousness." What do you mean, not knowing about it? The Jews believe God is righteous, but they don't know that it's not something that a person can achieve in the absolute sense. "And seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." All right, picking up with point 14. A genuine knowledge of God and His plan should be accompanied with zeal. I'm sure everybody knows what that word means. You have a zeal for something. You like to do something. You like whatever it is, zeal. True knowledge sanctifies zeal. Zeal minus true knowledge is worthless. It's just people running amok. And that's what you have out there. You got a bunch of religious people who have zeal, and they seem real enthusiastic and excited, but the knowledge factor is not there. They can't discuss with you the three adjustments to God and what it takes to earn the crown and other factors. They just can't. They can't articulate this stuff and the details that go with it. Zeal for truth should characterize all who make a claim of positive volition. Now, I don't expect you up jumping around and everything, but if you like something, you talk about it. You're engaged with it. It's in you. It could be some interest that you like, and you're stirred up about it. You like to talk about it. I could give illustrations. You like to cook, or you like to, I don't know, whatever it is. So you have a zeal for it. And therefore, you have a certain excitement level. So I don't expect everyone has the same personality or anything. But zeal should characterize positive volition. Love of something, if you want to put it another way, should characterize positive volition. What you learned in Bible class, what you're learning, what you understand. But if you're lukewarm, then you don't have much zeal for that. You go, yeah. Israel lost track of the means to arrive at divine righteousness in the matter of salvation, verse 4. Instead, the Jews were engaged in establishing their own righteousness. And your own righteousness, however commendable it may be for a human being, a moral person, let's say, hardworking, moral, upstanding citizen, whatever terms you want to use, generous, you know, things we see about people, those kind of things, loyal, dependable, you know, that righteousness, while it serves a purpose in the world in a civilized society, it won't gain you plus R. It's not the plus R righteousness. It's not perfection with a capital P. It is not. We're talking perfection. Now, of course, in the afterlife, we'll all be perfect experientially. None of us will sin. We won't have sins of ignorance. I didn't know that was a sin, that thing. They even had an offering under the law for unknown sins. Because people, some things are obvious early on that that's out of line, but some things it takes more insight into the scripture. Oh, that's out of line. Okay. Now quit doing that or won't do that. Because right here it's in the Bible. You ask a question, that's it. That's God's standard of righteousness with regard to fill in the blank. It's not that difficult. But I understand that some people don't know some things. But people have been on doctrine for since they were knee-high to whatever. They ought to know better. Ought to figure this out. Ought to get it together. They are very culpable. Your culpability builds every day under Bible doctrine. You become more and more culpable because you knew better versus didn't know that. That's not good either, but we understand that spiritual growth has to take place. So they engaged in establishing their own righteousness. They fell into the idea that salvation was based on human behavior and the works of the law, in particular because they were Jews. Well, how many people in the world have some attitude? It might be their own little homespun stuff. I'm a good father, husband, hard worker. All the usual. I believe in being a good neighbor. On and on and on and on. Well, great. But guess what? It's not plus R, sir. With all due respect, it isn't plus R. And you've got to have this same level of perfection that God has to have a relationship with Him forever. Well, then I don't know what to do. You believe in Jesus Christ, and He gives it to you. He credits it to your account. You're stamped permanently with it forever, plus R. The plus R factor. And that opens the door. That's like a pipeline. And it opens the door for all the other stuff that flows from it. Now He can give you eternal life. Of course, it happens. It all happens at once, but logically, you get plus R so you can have eternal life, so you can, down the road, get a resurrection body or go to heaven when you die before the rapture, etc., etc., and opens the door for you to have the other additional benefits that come from being an informed Christian. You wouldn't be surprised. But the Christians out here today, now obviously, I don't have a connection with very many. Now do I? I don't want to be depressed. But I don't have a connection with very many of them. It's just cursory. But when I hear them talking about their problems and stuff, now I'd have to be sure that they were a believer first, because I understand that an unbeliever has no hope. No, his hope is confined to this life. I hope I can raise my kids up. I hope I can make so much my hope. I hope. That's his hope. His hope is confined to this life. There's songs about it. Nothing's forever. This life's not a rehearsal. And I heard one the other day. It was well done, but just loaded with human viewpoint. Yeah, something's forever. Your soul is immortal. It will never go out of existence. The minute you got it, your most sacred, most valuable possession is your living soul. Not the external body. These are very important, but it's your soul. It's the soul that is saved in salvation. not the body. The body is the same as it was the day before you believed in Christ. You just have the promise it's going to get fixed up into a resurrection body to match Christ. But listening to a lot of people who go to church at some level talk about their health test or their mother's health test, nothing. It's never framed with God's working this for good and building up her rewards account and staying in fellowship so she can maximize under this test. You don't hear any of that. I don't even know I heard it when I was, I'm sure I heard Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. But I never heard that this is all potential for racking up SG3. Well, you didn't have to call it SG3. Just, okay, eternal rewards. I never heard that. I didn't have a clue. Well, if you don't have rebound, you are dead in the water. Your tires are spinning, but you're not going anywhere. You've got to know the rebound principle and use it. You can't wear it out over and over and over. Because you won't get through this day without some sin popping up in your mental attitude. You can sit right out there and be out of fellowship, upset with something I brought to your attention. Instead of thinking, okay, I took a hit. Words of God's a critic. I need to quit missing Bible class. I throw that as an illustration. I need to quit making excuses for this and that. If you have a zeal for something, you go after it. It could be somebody's stupid favorite TV program. They're not going to miss an episode. Okay? That's their zeal. They like that series. Boom, boom, boom. And if they have to miss it, they'll get it some other way. Zeal. They sought to establish their own righteousness, point 21, which is the approach many vainly follow in our world. Yes, there's all the atheists and the people that believe this is the end all and the be all. But for those who are aspiring to, because, you know, the word heaven is in all these songs. Heaven. So what's that? Whatever dumb ideas some people have of it. It's a place. Just like Paris is a place. It's a place on the map. It's right up above us. And it's so nice to know it isn't that far away. Distance-wise. It just is not. It's close at hand. The throne room of God is close at hand. This physical, massive real estate, which obviously dwarfs the real estate of the earth itself. It's got to. So you hear all this talk. If you were mine, I wouldn't want to go to heaven. You know, some stupid song. So they have the concept. And for many, the concept is be good, do good, whatever it is in their minds. For some, it's kill a Jew. Terrorists. So they can go be with Allah. Kill a Jew. And if you're martyred in the process, you get 29 virgins and you're all right. So there's a belief in an afterlife system right there. Based on works. Kill a Jew. That's what they do. Yeah. Strap a bomb on you and walk out into the group of Jews and detonate the thing. Yeah, you're going to kill yourself, but you're a martyr. The righteousness that results in salvation was revealed to the Jews by the law and the prophets. That righteousness, they're missing the point on. There's the relative righteousness that a person can achieve based on the law. The law itself is plus R, but anybody working under it is going to have less than plus R because there's not a righteous man that continually does good and never sins. That verse ought to shoot down so much garbage, it isn't even funny. The sinless perfection morons that are out there, that they arrived, that you arrive at this point where you don't want to sin anymore. And you build a whole denomination around that kind of stuff? A big lie? Romans 3:21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. How is it witnessed by the law? You go study the law and you find out, oh, the law prescribed animal sacrifices. That's a teaching aid that teaches the way of salvation through a sacrifice. Huh. Okay? And of course, the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no differentiation or distinction. I don't care who you are, where you're from. You just got to believe. It's like, push this button and the engine will start. What are you pushing all these other buttons for? It's not starting. Push this one. You push this one and it starts. The believe button. I believe Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. It's a mental attitude. It's a decision. It's the most important decision you ever make. The most vital for any human. The consequences of failure are almost unthinkable, but they're real. It comes by faith to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ without exception. 25. From these verses we learn that the unbelieving religious Jews who base salvation on some code of behavior is characterized by zeal. Don't confuse zeal and enthusiasm with truth. People are zealous for a lot of different things. Belief systems, ignorance, and insubordination. You will not submit. What about the Jews out there through time that didn't fall into this, that are exceptions? We cited the grandmother and the mother of Timothy. Well, how come they didn't get swept up in it? Because of their volition, and they're thinking this through. I mean, I would start with, well, what are we killing a bunch of animals for? And shedding their blood all over the place. Pagans do that too. What are we doing this for? What does that symbolize? Unless you think animal blood is some kind of a literal remedy for forgiveness of sins. That must have been what they got into. That it took the killing of an innocent, as it were, animal, because you can't be killing humans. That's murder. But they figured it out. And then they have these, hey guys, what about these scriptures here about a suffering Messiah? What about a suffering Messiah we, in time, rejected? What about that? You just shrug your shoulders? Ignore that part of it? Because it doesn't suit you? You like the glorious Messiah coming back, delivering Israel, giving them all the goodies and everything. You like that one, don't you? And that's a true one. But you have to accept what he did to make it possible for those to enjoy the kingdom of God when it's set up on earth. Which apparently is about to happen. While everybody snoozes. I mean, I have two mixed feelings with regard to him. You're not even thinking. Because if you were, and you were thinking towards God, you'd be wanting answers. For your own sake, for your own benefit. Where's all this headed? Oh, they'll talk about, if we keep this up, there's going to be a nuclear war. But you're not, or your mind is off on who won the ball game, or why didn't they? I hear it mostly in restaurants. Overhearing people talking. I try to tune them out. But man, they got every little answer, every little angle. They're going on and on and on and on. And all these talking heads up there on the screen, of course, they mute them out, thankfully. So they got a couple programs going on around the bar, usually around the bar area, with sport. It's mostly always sports. Really? Really? That's it? That's why I always kids like the old, and this really goes way back before most of you, or lots of you, the old Peggy Lee song. Is this all there is? She has a song, kind of narration, family house burns to the ground, whatever. Is this all there is? That's what they're asleep, and they're sleepwalking in the dark. And a lot of them are drunk under the influence of stupidity and evil. I've even tried to talk to a couple of them about stuff. They're just off. They're just bouncing all over the place. There's no continuity in their thinking. And yet they went to church. This is they're a reflection of where they go to church. And when I was criticized for criticizing churches, if you find one, don't just throw out this, oh, there's some really good. That isn't going to work for me. It's like saying there's some really good mechanics out there somewhere. Take your car in somewhere, any old place. No. You show me a church and you show me their doctrines and what they're teaching and what their approach is, and then I will tell you what I think of it. Don't find a nice person full of zeal and they're the epitome, and therefore their church is okay. It doesn't work backwards like that. They may be an exceptionally good person, but they can't articulate things that needs to be articulated. And they have a bunch of zeal, and they go to every service, and they run around and do all this stuff. I've been there and done that. It's been a long time. I wrap myself up in it. And I didn't even know Rebound by any other name. Didn't know it. Did not know it. You can't just quote a verse and say, well, you gave it to you. It says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But no one told me, Jack, you got a sin nature. You're going to sin. And when you do, name it, and you're back in fellowship. And you're filled with the Spirit and blah, blah, blah. And that now you can produce divine good and grow spiritually. Did I ever hear anything close to that? No. And I bought books. I got a library full of them. Theological books, not devotional stuff. I hear some of my ex-members are out on devotional. Some people are doing devotionals. Really? In verse 4, Paul gives the reason why imputed righteousness is the only way to eternal salvation. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. It means that Christ is the termination of the law of righteousness. He's the termination of the work system. He's the termination of it, the end of it. It never was viable, never will be. So Christ is the termination of the law for righteousness. He ends the discussion. That's how you get your plus R factor. You can thank God today for plus R, for the salvation package, that you've been qualified, not based on your human behavior, but based on the fact you obeyed God and believed in Jesus Christ. And you can thank God for the greatest gift that there is. There's no other gift. There's other great gifts, but there's none that reaches this, because it delivered you and I from eternal wrath and guarantees us blessing in the new creation forever and ever and ever. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.